Section 18, dealing with false science, cults, isms, and secret societies.
Satan gains foothold through false doctrines. Subheading, Error draws its life from truth. Satan has wrought with deceiving power, bringing in a multiplicity of errors that obscure the truth. Error cannot stand alone, and would soon become extinct if it did not fasten itself like a parasite upon the tree of truth. Error draws its life from the truth of God. The traditions of men, like floating germs, attach themselves to the truth of God, and men regard them as a part of the truth. Through false doctrines, Satan gains a foothold and captivates the minds of men, causing them to hold theories that have no foundation in truth. Men boldly teach for doctrines the commandments of men, and as traditions pass on from age to age, they acquire a power over the human mind. But age does not make error truth, neither does its burdensome weight cause the plant of truth to become a parasite. The tree of truth bears its own genuine fruit, showing its true origin and nature. The parasite of error also bears its own fruit and makes manifest that its character is diverse from the plant of heavenly origin. It is through false theories and traditions that Satan gains his power over the human mind. We can see the extent to which he exercises his power by the disloyalty that is in the world. Even the churches that profess to be Christian have turned from the law of Jehovah and have erected a false standard. Satan has had his hand in all this, for by directing men to false standards, he misshapes the human character and causes humanity to acknowledge him as supreme. He works counter to the holy law of God and denies God's jurisdiction. It is at his throne that every evil work finds a starting point and obtains its support. Review and Herald, October 22, 1895. Subheading, Diverging Paths of Truth and Error. Satan's angels are wise to do evil, and they will create that which some will claim to be advanced light, and will proclaim it as new and wonderful. Yet while in some respects the message may be true, it will be mingled with human inventions, and will teach for doctrine the commandments of men. If there was ever a time when we should watch and pray in real earnest, it is now. Many apparently good things will need to be carefully considered with much prayer, for they are specious devices of the enemy to lead souls in a path which lies so close to the path of truth that it will be scarcely distinguishable from it. But the eye of faith may discern that it is diverging, though almost imperceptibly, from the right path. At first it may be thought positively right, but after a while it is seen to be widely divergent from the way which leads to holiness and heaven. My brethren, I warn you to make straight paths for your feet, lest the lame be turned out of the way. Undated Manuscript 111. Subheading, Heresies Now Presented as Bible Doctrines. The time has come when we cannot depend upon the doctrine which comes to our ears unless we see that it harmonizes with the Word of God. There are dangerous heresies that will be presented as Bible doctrines, and we are to become acquainted with the Bible so that we may know how to meet them. The faith of every individual will be tested, and everyone will pass through a trial of close criticism. Review and Herald, May 3, 1887. Subheading, Satan Misquotes Scripture. All shall become familiar with God's Word, because Satan perverts and misquotes Scripture, and men follow his example by presenting part of God's Word to those whom they wish to lead in false paths, withholding the part which would spoil their plans. All have the privilege of becoming acquainted with a plain, Thus saith the Lord. There are false shepherds who will say and do perverse things. Children should be so instructed that they will be familiar with God's Word and be able to know when part of a scripture is read and part left unread in order to make a false impression. Manuscript 153, 1899. Subheading, Fallacies Introduced by Religious Leaders. With the open Bible before them and professing to reverence its teachings, many of the religious leaders of our time are destroying faith in it as the Word of God. They busy themselves with dissecting the Word and set their own opinions above its plainest statements. In their hands, God's Word loses its regenerating power. This is why infidelity runs riot and iniquity is rife. When Satan has undermined faith in the Bible, he directs men to other sources for light and power. Thus he insinuates himself. Those who turn from the plain teaching of Scripture and the convicting power of God's Holy Spirit are inviting the control of demons. Criticism and speculation concerning the Scriptures have opened the way for spiritualism and theosophy, those modernized forms of ancient heathenism, to gain a foothold even in the professed churches of our Lord Jesus Christ. Side by side with the preaching of the gospel, agents are at work which are but the medium of lying spirits. Many a man tampers with these merely from curiosity, but seeing evidence of the working of a more than human power, he's lured on and on until he is controlled by a will stronger than his own. He cannot escape from its mysterious power. The defenses of the soul are broken down. He has no barrier against sin. When once the restraints of God's word and his spirit are rejected, no man knows to what depths of degradation he may sink. Secret sin or master passion may hold him a captive as helpless as was the demoniac of Capernaum, yet his condition is not hopeless. The Desire of Ages, page 258, 1898. Subheading, Error and Fanaticism in a Confused Ministry. God calls upon his people to be Christians in thought, in word, and in deed. Luther made the statement that religion is never so much in danger as among reverend men. I can say that many who held the truth are not sanctified through the truth. They have not the faith that works by love and purifies the soul. They have become accustomed to handling sacred things, and because of this, many handle the word of God irreverently. They have not walked in the light, but have closed their eyes to light. This is an age of signal rejection of the grace God has purposed to bestow upon his people, that in the perils of the last days, they may not be overcome by the prevailing iniquity and unite with the hostility of the world against God's remnant people. Under the cloak of Christianity and sanctification, far-spreading and manifest ungodliness will prevail to a terrible degree and will continue until Christ comes to be glorified in all them that believe. In the very courts of the temple, scenes will be enacted that few realize. God's people will be proved and tested, that he may discern between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Manuscript 15, 1886. Subheading, Conflict Between False Science and Religion. I have been warned that henceforth we shall have a constant contest. Science, so-called, and religion will be placed in opposition to each other, because finite men do not comprehend the power and greatness of God. These words of Holy Writ were presented to me. Of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. This will surely be seen among the people of God, and there will be those who are unable to perceive the most wonderful and important truths for this time, truths which are essential for their own safety and salvation, while matters that are in comparison are the merest atoms, matters in which there is scarcely a grain of truth, are dwelt upon and are magnified by the power of Satan, so that they appear of the utmost importance. The moral sight of these men is diseased. They do not feel their need of the heavenly anointing that they may discern spiritual things. They think themselves too wise to err. Men who have not a daily experience in the things of God will not move wisely in dealing with sacred responsibilities. They will mistake light for error, and specious error they will pronounce light, mistaking phantoms for realities and realities for phantoms, calling a world an atom and an atom a world. They will fall into deceptions and delusions that Satan has prepared as concealed nets to entangle the feet of those who think they can walk in their human wisdom without the special grace of Christ. Jesus wants men to see not men as trees walking, but all things clearly. There is only one remedy for the sinful soul, and unless it is received, men will accept one delusion after another until their senses are perverted. Manuscript 16, 1890. Heading, Miracles Not a Test. Subheading, Satan Will Present Miracles. Many who refuse the message which the Lord sends them are seeking to find pegs on which to hang doubts, to find some excuse for rejecting the light of heaven. In the face of clear evidence, they say, as did the Jews, "Show us a miracle, and we will believe." If these messengers have the truth, why do they not heal the sick? Could their eyes be opened, they would see evil angels exulting around them and triumphing in their power to deceive them. The day is just before us when Satan will answer the demand of these doubters and present numerous miracles to confirm the faith of all those who are seeking this kind of evidence. How terrible will be the situation of those who close their eyes to the light of truth and ask for miracles to establish them in deception. Letter 4, 1889. Subheading, Miraculous Healing and Fanaticism. Our sanitariums are to reach a class that can be reached by no other means. Why, asks one and another, is not prayer offered for the miraculous healing of the sick instead of so many sanitariums being established? Should this be done, great fanaticism would arise in our ranks. Those who have much confidence would start into action, as did certain ones in blank, who had a great deal to say about holy flesh. These were carried away by a spiritualistic delusion. At the General Conference in 1901, they were rebuked by a message given me for them by the Lord. Should we carry out the plans that some would be pleased to have us carry out, companies that would be formed who would bring in spiritualistic manifestations that would confuse the faith of many? Errors will come in, and strange doctrines will be advocated. Some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. As far back as the establishment of the first sanitarium, these things began to appear. They were similar to the errors that manifested themselves as soon after the disappointment of 1844. A strong phase of fanaticism appeared, calling itself the witness of the Holy Ghost. I was given a message to rebuke this evil work. Letter 79, 1905. Heading, False Sanctification and Holiness, subheading, Beware of Doctrine, Just Believe. We shall meet with false doctrines of every kind, and unless we are acquainted with what Christ has said and are following his instruction, we shall be led astray. One of the most dangerous of these doctrines is that of false sanctification. There are those who claim to be holy and yet are breaking God's commandments. Their assertion that they are sinless is false and should not be received. Another doctrine that will be presented is that all that we have to do is to believe in Christ, to believe that he has forgiven our sins, and that after we are forgiven, it is impossible for us to sin. This is a snare of Satan. It is true that we must believe in Christ. He is our only hope of salvation. But it is also true that we must work out our individual salvation daily in faith, not boastingly, but with fear and trembling. We are to use every power of our being in a service, and after we have done our utmost, we are still to regard ourselves as unprofitable servants. Divine power will unite with our efforts, and as we cling to God with the hand of faith, Christ will impart to us his wisdom and his righteousness. Thus, by his grace, we shall be enabled to build upon the sure foundation. Manuscript 27, 1886. Subheading, A Shallow Profession of Holiness. Those who would follow Christ must be grounded upon the principles of truth. They need to understand what the Bible teaches in regard to faith and sanctification through the truth. They must be so established in this knowledge that they cannot be moved to take false positions on the doctrine of holiness, but will be able to illustrate in their lives the practical workings of this heaven-given principle. The people of God must be able to distinguish between the genuine and the spurious. There are those who profess holiness, who declare that they are holy the Lord's, who claim a right to the promises of God, while they do not render obedience to his commandments. It is true that there are many who have never had the light of present truth, who, through the grace given them of Christ, are keeping the law as far as they understand it. Those who are thus living up to the best light they have are not of the class whom the Apostle John condemns. His words apply to those who boast of believing in Jesus, who claim holiness, while they lightly regard the requirements of the law of God. While they talk of the love of Jesus, their love is not deep enough to lead to obedience. The fruit they bear shows the character of the tree. It proves their faith is not genuine. Yet this class, though entitled to nothing, though they have no right to the promises of God, boldly claim all his blessings. While they give nothing, they claim everything. They close their ears to the truth, refuse to listen to the plain, thus saith the Lord, but by professing holiness they deceive many, leading souls away by their pretentious faith that has no foundation. Gospel Workers, pages 226, 227, 1892. Subheading, False Doctrine, It Makes No Difference What You Believe. There are many whose religion consists in theory. To them, a happy emotion is godliness. They say, come to Jesus and believe in him. It makes no difference what you believe so long as you are honest in your belief. They do not seek to make the sinner understand the true character of sin. Satan is willing that every transgressor of God's law shall claim to be holy. This is what he himself is doing. He is satisfied when men rest their faith on spurious doctrines and religious enthusiasm, for he can use such persons to good purpose in deceiving souls. There are many professedly sanctified ones who are aiding Satan in their work. They talk much of feeling. They speak of their love for God. But God does not recognize their love, for it is a delusion of the enemy. God has given these persons light, but they have refused to accept it. With the father of lies, they will receive the reward of disobedience. Review and Herald, June 26, 1900. Subheading, Another Error, Commandments Done Away. Christ warns his followers, Beware false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. He exhorts us not to be deceived when false shepherds present their doctrines. These men tell us that the commandments of God were done away at the death of Christ. Shall we believe them, these men who claim to be sanctified, while they refuse to obey God? They say the Lord has told them that they need not to keep the Ten Commandments, but has the Lord told them this? No, God does not lie. Satan, who is the father of lies, deceived Adam in a similar way, telling him that he need not obey God, that he would not die if he transgressed the law. But Adam fell, and by his sin he opened the floodgates of woe upon our world. Again, Satan told Cain that he need not follow expressly the command of God in presenting the slain lamb as an offering. Cain obeyed the voice of the deceiver, and because God did not accept his offering, while he showed his approval of Abel's offering, Cain rose up in anger and slew his brother. We need to know for ourselves what voice we're heeding, whether it's the voice of the true and living God or the voice of the great apostate. When type met antitype, in the death of Christ, the sacrificial offering ceased. The ceremonial law was done away. But by the crucifixion, the law of Ten Commandments was established. The gospel has not abrogated the law, nor detracted one tittle from its claims. It still demands holiness in every part. It is the echo of God's own voice, giving to every soul the invitation, come up higher, be holy, holier still. Review and Herald, June 26, 1900. Subheading, A Timely Caution. We, as a people, have fallen into the opposite error. We acknowledge the claims of God's law and teach the people the duty of rendering obedience. We believe in giving everything, but we do not see that we must take as well as give. We fail to have the trust, that faith which keeps the soul abiding in Christ. We claim little, when we might claim much, for there is no limit to the promises of God. Through a lack of faith, many who seek to obey the commandments of God have little peace and joy. They do not correctly represent the sanctification that is to come through obedience to the truth. They are not anchored in Christ. Many feel a lack in their experience. They desire something which they have not, and thus some are led to attend holiness meetings and are charmed with the sentiments of those who break the law of God. It is our duty to preach faith, to present the love of Christ in connection with the claims of the law, for neither can be rightly understood without the other. In every discourse, the love of God, as manifested in Christ, the sinner's only hope, should be dwelt upon until the people realize something of its power and preciousness. If this is done as it should be, it will not be said of this people that they teach the law, but do not believe in repentance, faith, and conversion. We want these subjects to be blended as God has blended them. Then will the truth be presented in its completeness, not as a mere theory, but as a power that will transform the character. It will then be preached in demonstration of the Spirit and with power. Then those who have accepted the doctrines of the Bible will not be unfed. They will feel the vivifying influence of the Holy Spirit. Gospel Workers, pages 227, 228, 1892. Heading, Pantheistic and Spiritualistic Theories. Subheading, The Peril of False Science and Deceptive Theories. In New Hampshire, there were those who were active in disseminating false ideas in regard to God. Light was given me that these men were making the truth of no effect by their ideas, some of which led to free loveism. I was shown that these men were seducing souls by presenting speculative theories regarding God. Among other views, they held that those once sanctified could not sin, and this they were presenting as gospel food. Their false theories, with their burden of deceptive influence, were working great harm to themselves and to others. They were gaining a spiritualistic power over those who could not see the evil of these beautifully clothed theories. Great evils had already resulted. The doctrine that all were holy had led to the belief that the affections of the sanctified were never in danger of leading astray. The result of this belief was the fulfillment of the evil desires of hearts, which, though professedly sanctified, were far from purity of thought and practice. This is only one of the instances in which I was called upon to rebuke those who were presenting the doctrine of an impersonal God diffused through the nature and the doctrine of holy flesh. In the future, truth will be counterfeited by the precepts of men. Deceptive theories will be presented as safe doctrines. False science is one of the agencies that Satan used in the heavenly courts, and it is used by him today. I beseech those who are laboring for God not to accept the spurious for the genuine. We have a whole Bible full of the most precious truth. We have no need for supposition or false excitement. In the golden censer of truth as presented in Christ's teachings, we have that which will convict and convert souls. Present in the simplicity of Christ the truth that he came to this world to proclaim, and the power of your message will make itself felt. Do not present theories or tests that have no foundation in the Bible. We have grand, solemn tests to present. It is written in the test that must be brought home to everyone. Review and Herald, January 21, 1904. Subheading, False Theory, God is an Essence. Already there are coming in among our people spiritualistic teachings that will undermine the faith of those who give heed to them. The theory that God is an essence pervading all nature is one of Satan's most subtle devices. It misrepresents God and is a dishonor to his greatness and majesty. Pantheistic theories are not sustained by the Word of God. The light of his truth shows that these theories are soul-destroying agencies. Darkness is their element, sensuality their sphere. They gratify the natural heart and give license to inclination. Separation from God is the result of accepting them. There is but one power that can break the hold of evil from the hearts of men, and that is the power of God in Jesus Christ. Only through the blood of the crucified one is there cleansing from sin. His grace alone can enable us to resist and subdue the tendencies of our fallen nature. This power, these spiritualistic theories concerning God, make of no effect. If God is an essence pervading all nature, then he dwells in all men. And in order to attain holiness, man has only to develop the power that is within him. These theories, followed to their logical conclusion, sweep away the whole Christian economy. They do away with the necessity for the atonement and make man his own savior. These theories regarding God make his word of no effect, and those who accept them are in great danger of being led, finally, to look upon the whole Bible as a fiction. They may regard virtue as better than vice, but God, being removed from his position of sovereignty, they place their dependence upon human power, which without God is worthless. The unaided human will has no real power to resist and overcome evil. The defenses of the soul are broken down. Man has no barrier against sin. When once the restraints of God's word and his spirit are rejected, we know not to what depths one may sink. Those who continue to hold these spiritualistic theories will surely spoil their Christian experience, sever their connection with God, and lose eternal life. The sophistries regarding God and nature that are flooding the world with skepticism are the inspiration of the fallen foe, who is himself a Bible student, who knows the truth that is essential for the people to receive, and who study this to divert minds from the great truths given to prepare them for what is coming upon the world. I have seen the results of these fanciful views of God in apostasy, spiritualism, and free loveism. The free love tendency of these teachings was so concealed that at first it was difficult to make it plain its real character. Until the Lord presented it to me, I knew not what to call it, but I was instructed to call it unholy spiritual love. Testimonies, Volume 8, pages 291, 292, 1904. Heading, Various Forms of Spiritualism. Subheading, About to Take World Captive. Spiritualism is about to take the world captive. There are many who think that spiritualism is upheld through trickery and imposture, but this is far from the truth. Superhuman power is working in a variety of ways, and few have any idea as to what will be the manifestations of spiritualism in the future. The foundation for the success of spiritualism has been laid in the assertions that have been made from the pulpits of our land. The ministers have proclaimed the Bible, doctrines, falsehoods that have originated with the arch-deceiver. The doctrine of consciousness after death, of the spirits of the dead being in communion with the living, has no foundation in the scriptures, and yet these theories are affirmed as truth. Through this false doctrine, the way has been opened for the spirits of devils to deceive the people in representing themselves as the dead. Satanic agencies personate the dead and thus bring souls into captivity. Satan has a religion. He has a synagogue and devout worshippers. To swell the ranks of his devotees, he uses all manner of deception. Undated manuscript 66. Subheading, A Deception Aimed at the Bereaved. The deification of the dead has held a prominent place in nearly every system of heathenism, as is also the supposed communion with the dead. The gods were believed to communicate their will to men, and also, when consulted, to give them counsel. Of this character were the famous oracles of Greece and Rome. The belief in communion with the dead is still held, even in professedly Christian lands. Under the name of spiritualism, the practice of communicating with beings claiming to be the spirits of the departed has become widespread. It is calculated to take hold of the sympathies of those who have laid their loved ones in the grave. Signs of the Times, June 23, 1890. Subheading, Laying the Foundations for Spiritism. He, Satan, sometimes comes in the form of a lovely young person or of a beautiful shadow. He works cures and is worshipped by deceived mortals as a benefactor of our race. Thousands are conversing with and receiving instruction from this demon god and acting according to his teachings. The world, which is supposed to be benefited so much by phrenology and animal magnetism, never was so corrupt. Satan uses these very things to destroy virtue and lay the foundation of spiritualism. Testimonies, Volume 1, pages 296, 297, 1862. Subheading, More Frequent and Startling Manifestations. Spiritualists are increasing in numbers. They will come to men who have the truth as Satan came to Christ, tempting them to manifest their power and work miracles and give evidence of their being favored of God and of their being the people who have the truth. The only safety for the people of God is to be thoroughly conversant with their Bibles and be intelligent upon the reasons of our faith in regard to the sleep of the dead. Satan is a cunning foe, and it is not difficult for the evil angels to represent both saints and sinners who have died and make these representations visible to human eyes. These manifestations will be more frequent, and the developments of a more startling character will appear as we near the close of time. Review and Herald, April 1, 1875. Subheading, Ministers Dress It Up. Ministers, in spite of Satan, can eloquently dress up this hideous monster, hide its deformity, and make it appear beautiful to many. But it comes so direct from his satanic majesty that all who have to do with it, he claims as his to control, for they have ventured upon forbidden ground and have forfeited the protection of their maker. Review and Herald, May 13, 1862. Subheading, Spiritism and Cultism Debase Minds. Thousands, I was shown, have been spoiled through the philosophy of phrenology and animal magnetism and have been driven into infidelity. If the mind commences to run in this channel, it is almost sure to lose its balance and be controlled by a demon. Vain deceit fills the minds of poor mortals. They think there is such power in themselves to accomplish great works that they realize no necessity of a higher power. Their principles and faith are after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Jesus has not taught them this philosophy. Nothing of the kind can be found in his teachings. He did not direct the minds of poor mortals to themselves, to a power which they possessed. He was ever directing their minds to God, the creator of the universe, as the source of their strength and wisdom. The teachers of spiritualism come in a pleasing, bewitching manner to deceive you, and if you listen to their fables, you are beguiled by the enemy of righteousness and will surely lose your reward. When once the fascinating influence of the arch-deceiver overcomes you, you are poisoned, and its deadly influence adulterates and destroys your faith in Christ being the Son of God, and you cease to rely on the merits of his blood. Those deceived by this philosophy are beguiled of their reward through the deceptions of Satan. They rely upon their own merits, exercise voluntary humility, are even willing to make sacrifices and debase themselves, and yet yield their minds to the belief of supreme nonsense, receiving the most absurd ideas through those whom they believe to be their dead friends. Satan has so blinded their eyes and perverted their judgment that they perceive not the evil, and they follow up the instructions purporting to be from their dead friends, now angels in a higher sphere. Testimonies, Volume 1, pages 297, 298, 1862. Subheading, Christian Science, Oriental, and Healing Cults. There are many who shrink with horror from the thought of consulting spirit mediums, but who are attracted by more pleasing forms of spiritism, such as the Emmanuel Movement. Still others are led astray by the teachings of Christian Science and by the mysticism of theosophy and other Oriental religions. The apostles of nearly all forms of spiritism claim to have the power to cure the diseased. They attribute their power to electricity, magnetism, the so-called sympathetic remedies, or to latent forces within the mind of man. And there are not a few, even in this Christian age, who go to these healers instead of trusting in the power of the living God and the skill of the well-qualified Christian physicians. The mother, watching by the sickbed of a child, exclaims, "I can do no more. Is there no physician who has power to restore my child?" She is told of the wonderful cures performed by some clairvoyant or magnetic healer, and she trusts her dear one to his charge, placing it as verily in the hands of Satan as if he were standing by her side. In many instances, the future life of the child is controlled by a satanic power, which it seems impossible to break. Review and Herald, January 15, 1914. Subheading, Deceptive Benefits. Those who give themselves up to the sorcery of Satan may boast of great benefit received, but does this prove their course to be wise or safe? What if life should be prolonged? What if temporal gain should be secured? Will it pay in the end to have disregarded the will of God? All such apparent gain will prove at last an irrecoverable loss. We cannot with impunity break down a single barrier which God has erected to guard his people from Satan's power. Review and Herald, January 15, 1914. Subheading, Danger in Consulting Cultist Physicians. There's danger in departing in the least from the Lord's instruction. When we deviate from the plain path of duty, a train of circumstances will arise that seem irresistibly to draw us farther and farther from the right. Needless intimacies with those who have no respect for God will seduce us ere we are aware. Fear to offend worldly friends will deter us from expressing our gratitude to God or acknowledging our dependence upon Him. Angels of God will preserve His people while they walk on the path of duty, but there is no assurance of such protection for those who deliberately venture upon Satan's ground. An agent of the great deceiver will say and do anything to gain his object. It matters little whether he calls himself a spiritualist, an electric physician, or a magnetic healer. By specious pretenses, he wins the confidence of the unwary. He pretends to read the life history and to understand all the difficulties and afflictions of those who resort to him. Disguising himself as an angel of light, while the blackness of the pit is in his heart, he manifests great interest in women who seek his counsel. He tells them that all their troubles are due to an unhappy marriage. This may be too true, but such a counselor does not better their condition. He tells them that they need love and sympathy. Pretending great interest in their welfare, he casts a spell over his unsuspecting victims charming them as the serpent charms the trembling bird. Soon they are completely in his power, and sin, disgrace, and ruin are the terrible sequel. Review and Herald, June 27, 1882. Subheading, Vilest License, Despair, and Ruin. The demon's message to Saul, although was a denunciation of sin and a prophecy of retribution, was not meant to reform him, but to goad him to despair and ruin. Often, however, it serves the tempter's purpose best to lure men to destruction by flattery. The teaching of the demon gods in ancient times fostered the vilest license. The divine precepts condemning sin and enforcing righteousness were set aside. Truth was lightly regarded, and impurity was not only permitted, but enjoined. Spiritualism declares that there is no death, no sin, no judgment, no retribution, that men are unfallen demigods, that desire is the highest law, and the man is accountable only to himself. The barriers that God has erected to guard truth, purity, and reverence are broken down, and many are thus emboldened in sin. Does not such teaching suggest an origin similar to that of demon worship? Signs of the Times, June 30, 1890. Subheading, Mystic Voices, Mediums, Clairvoyance, and Fortune Tellers. The mystic voices that spoke at Ikron and Endor are still, by their lying words, misleading the children of men. The Prince of Darkness has but appeared under a new guise. The heathen oracles of ages long past have their counterpart in the spiritualistic mediums, the clairvoyants and fortune tellers of today. The mysteries of heathen worship are replaced by the secret associations and seances, the obscurities and wonders of the sorcerers of our time. And their disclosures are eagerly received by thousands who refuse to accept light from the Word or the Spirit of God. They speak with scorn of the magicians of old, while the great deceiver laughs in triumph as they yield to his arts in a different form. These satanic agents claim to cure disease. They attribute their power to electricity, magnetism, or the so-called sympathetic remedies, while in truth they are but channels for Satan's electric currents. By this means, he casts a spell of the bodies and souls of men. Signs of the Times, March 24, 1887. Subheading, The Path to Hell. Vain philosophy is employed in representing the path to hell as a path of safety. With the imagination highly wrought and voices musically tuned, they picture the broad road as one of happiness and glory. Ambition holds before deluded souls, as Satan presented to Eve, a freedom and bliss for them to enjoy which they never conceived was possible. Men are praised who have traveled a broad path to hell, and after they die are exalted to the highest positions in the eternal world. Satan, clothed in robes of righteousness, appearing like an exalted angel, tempted the world's Redeemer without success. But as he comes to man robed as an angel of light, he has better success. He covers his hideous purposes and succeeds too well in deluding the unwary who are not firmly anchored upon eternal truth. Review and Herald, April 1, 1875. Subheading, The Power of Prayer in Meeting Satan. The prayer of faith is the great strength of the Christian and will assuredly prevail against Satan. This is why he insinuates that we have no need of prayer. The name of Jesus, our advocate, he detests. And when we earnestly come to him for help, Satan's host is alarmed. It serves his purpose well if we neglect the exercise of prayer, for then his lying wonders are more readily received. Testimonies, Volume 1, page 296, 1862. Heading, Fanaticism and Extremism. Subheading, Counterfeiting Spiritual Gifts. Many errors arose, and though I was then little more than a child, I was sent by the Lord from place to place to rebuke those who were holding these false doctrines. There were those who were in danger of going into fanaticism, and I was bidden in the name of the Lord to give them a warning from heaven. We shall have to meet these same false doctrines again. There will be those who will claim to have visions. When God gives you clear evidence that the vision is from Him, you may accept it, but do not accept it on any other evidence. But people are going to be led more and more astray in foreign countries and in America. The Lord wants His people to act like men and women of sense. In the future, deception of every kind is to arise, and we want solid ground for our feet. We want solid pillars for the building. Not one pin is to be removed from that which the Lord has established. Where shall we find safety unless it be in the truths that the Lord has been giving for the last 50 years? Review and Herald, May 25, 1905. Subheading, As the Serpent Beguiled Eve. False theories, repeated again and again, appear as falsely inviting today as did the fruit of the forbidden tree in the Garden of Eden. The fruit was very beautiful and apparently desirable for food. Through false doctrines, many souls have been already destroyed. Manuscript 37, 1906. Subheading, Disease with Fanaticism and Extremism. As the natural eyesight of persons becomes so impaired as to be almost useless, so in the case of religious fanaticism and extremism, the eye of the soul, through which good and evil may be discerned, becomes so perverted that nothing is distinguished clearly. A healthful discernment is ruined, so the spirit of truth and righteousness cannot be distinguished from the spirit of error and fanaticism. There is a disease of the spiritual faculties when a man or woman fancies that he sees things which do not exist. He is intoxicated with an illusion as verily as the liquor drinker becomes intoxicated by using strong drink. There is an inspiration, but not of God. The mental faculties are perverted. Let every soul make God his trust and obtain an experience that is wholesome and healthy. Manuscript 41, 1900. Subheading, In the Fire or in the Water. There is a class of people who are always ready to go off on some tangent, who want to catch up on something strange and wonderful and new. But God desires us all to move calmly, considerately, choosing our words in harmony with the solid truth for this time. The truth should be presented to the mind as free as possible from that which is emotional, while still bearing the intensity and solemnity befitting its character. We must guard against encouraging extremists, those who would be either in the fire or in the water. I beseech you to weed out of your teachings every extravagant expression, everything that is unbalanced minds, and those who are experienced will catch up and will lead them to make wild, immature movements. It is necessary for you to cultivate caution in every statement, lest you start some on a wrong track and make confusion will require much sorrowful labor to set in order, thus diverting the strength of the laborers into lines which God does not design shall be entered. One manifestation of fanaticism among us will close many doors against the soundest principles of truth. Undated Manuscript 111. Subheading, Sacred Truth Dishonored by Excitement. We need to be thoughtful and still, and to contemplate the truths of revelation. Excitement is not favorable to growth and grace, to true purity and sanctification of the Spirit. God wants us to deal with sacred truth. This alone will convince the gainsayer. Calm, sensible labor must be put forth. God calls upon his people to walk with sobriety and holy consistency. They should be very careful not to misrepresent and dishonor the holy doctrines of truth by strange performances, by confusion and tumult. By this, unbelievers are led to think that Seventh-day Adventists are a set of fanatics. Thus, prejudice is created that prevents souls from receiving the message for this time. When believers speak the truth, as it is in Jesus, they reveal a holy, sensible calm, not a storm of confusion. Manuscript 76A, 1901. Subheading, False Teachers Misplace Prophecy. In our day, as in Christ's day, there may be a misreading and misinterpreting of the Scriptures. If the Jews had studied the Scriptures with earnest, prayerful hearts, their searchings would have been rewarded with a true knowledge of the time, and not only the time, but also the manner of Christ's appearing. They would not have ascribed the glorious second appearing of Christ to his first advent. They had the testimony of Daniel. They had the testimony of Isaiah and the other prophets. They had the teachings of Moses. And here was Christ in their very midst, and still they are searching the Scriptures for evidence in regard to his coming. And they were doing unto Christ the very things that had been prophesied they would do. They were so blinded, they knew not what they were doing. And many are doing the same thing today in 1897, because they have not had experience in the testing messages comprehending the first, second, and third angels' messages. There are those who are searching the scriptures for proof that these messages are still in the future. They gather together the truthfulness of the messages, but they fail to give them their proper place in prophetic history. Therefore, such are in danger of misleading the people in regard to locating the messages. They do not see and understand the time of the end or when to locate the messages. The day of God is coming with stealthy tread, but the supposed wise and great men are prating about higher education. They know not the signs of Christ's coming or of the end of the world. Manuscript 136, 1897. Heading, Misrepresentations of the Godhead. Subheading, Let People Know Our Position. Our policy is, do not make prominent the objectionable features of our faith, which strike most decidedly against the practices and customs of the people, until the Lord shall give the people a fair chance to know that we are believers in Christ, that we do believe in the divinity of Christ and in his preexistence. Testimonies to Ministers, page 253, 1895. Subheading, We Shall Have to Meet Erroneous Teaching. Again and again, we shall be called to meet the influence of men who are studying sciences of satanic origin, through which Satan is working to make a non-entity of God and of Christ. The Father and the Son each have a personality. Christ declared, I and my Father are one. Yet it was the Son of God who came to the world in human form. Laying aside his royal robe and kingly crown, he clothed his divinity with humanity, that humanity through his infinite sacrifice might become partakers of the divine nature and escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Testimonies, Volume 9, page 68, 1909. Subheading, Positive Truth versus Spiritualistic Representations. I am instructed to say, the sentiments of those who are searching for advanced scientific ideas are not to be trusted. Such representations as the following are made: the Father is as the light invisible, the Son is as the light embodied, the Spirit is the light shed abroad. The Father is like the dew, invisible vapor. The Son is like the dew gathered in beauteous form. The Spirit is like the dew fallen to the seat of life. Another representation, the Father is like the invisible vapor. The Son is like the leaden cloud. The Spirit is rain fallen and working in refreshing power. All these spiritualistic representations are simply nothingness. They are imperfect, untrue. They weaken and diminish the majesty which no earthly likeness can be compared to. God cannot be compared with the things his hands have made. These are mere earthly things suffering under the curse of God because of the sins of man. The Father cannot be described by the things of earth. The Father is all the fullness of the Godhead bodily and is invisible to mortal sight. The Son is all the fullness of the Godhead manifested. The Word of God declares him to be the express image of his person. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Here is shown the personality of the Father. The Comforter that Christ promised to send after he ascended to heaven is the Spirit and all the fullness of the Godhead, making manifest the power of divine grace to all who receive and believe in Christ as a personal Savior. There are three living persons of the heavenly trio. In the name of these three great powers, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, those who receive Christ by living faith are baptized, and these powers will cooperate with the obedient subjects of heaven in their efforts to live the new life in Christ. Special Testimonies, Series B, Number 7, pages 62-63, 1905. Subheading, The Pre-Existent, Self-Existent Son of God. Christ is the pre-existent, self-existent Son of God. In speaking of his pre-existence, Christ carries the mind back through dateless ages. He assures us that there never was a time when he was not in close fellowship with the eternal God. He, to whose voice the Jews were then listening, had been with God as one brought up with him. Signs of the Times, August 29, 1900. He was equal with God, infinite and omnipotent. He is the eternal, self-existent Son. Manuscript 101, 1897. Subheading, From Everlasting. While God's word speaks of the humanity of Christ when upon this earth, it also speaks decidedly regarding his preexistence. The word existed as a divine being, even as the eternal Son of God, in union and oneness with his Father. From everlasting, he was the mediator of the covenant, the one in whom all nations of the earth, both the Jews and Gentiles, if they accepted him, were to be blessed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Before men or angels were created, the Word was with God, and was God. Review and Herald, April 5, 1906. Christ shows them that, although they might reckon his life to be less than 50 years, yet his divine life could not be reckoned by human computation. The existence of Christ before his incarnation is not measured by figures. Signs of the Times, May 3, 1899. Subheading, Life, Original, Unborrowed, Underived. Jesus declared, I am the resurrection and the life. In Christ is life, original, unborrowed, underived. He that hath the Son hath life. The divinity of Christ is the believer's assurance of eternal life. The Desire of Ages, page 530, 1898. Subheading, With the Father at Sinai. When they, Israel, came to Sinai, he took occasion to refresh their minds in regard to his requirements. Christ and the Father, standing side by side upon the mount, with solemn majesty proclaimed the Ten Commandments. Historical Sketches, page 231, 1866. Subheading, The Eternal Dignitaries of the Trinity. The eternal heavenly dignitaries, God and Christ and the Holy Spirit, arming them, the disciples, with more than mortal energy, would advance with them to the work and convince the world of sin. Manuscript 145, 1901. Subheading, Personality of the Holy Spirit. We need to realize that the Holy Spirit, who is as much a person as God is a person, is walking through these grounds. Manuscript 66, 1899. From a talk to the students at the Avondale School. The Holy Spirit is a person, for he beareth witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. When this witness is born, it carries with it its own evidence. At such times we believe and assure that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit has a personality, else he could not bear witness to our spirits and with our spirits that we are the children of God. He must also be a divine person, else he could not search out the secrets which lie hidden in the mind of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Manuscript 20, 1906. Subheading, The Power of God in the Third Person. The prince of the power of evil can only be held in check by the power of God in the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. Special Testimonies, Series A, Number 10, page 37, 1897. Subheading, In Cooperation with the Three Highest Powers. We are to cooperate with the three highest powers in heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and these powers will work through us, making us workers together with God. Special Testimonies, Series B, Number 7, page 51, 1905. Heading, Secret Societies. Subheading, The Perils of the Secret Societies. The Lord's injunction, Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, refers not only to the marriage of Christians with the ungodly, but to all alliances in which the parties are brought into intimate association, and in which there is need of harmony in spirit and action. The Lord declares through the prophet Isaiah, Associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces. And give ear, all ye of far countries, gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us. For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, See ye not a confederacy to all them to whom his people shall say, A confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be a fear, and let him be a dread. Isaiah 8:9-13. There are those who question whether it is right for Christians to belong to the Freemasons and other secret societies. Let all such consider the scriptures just quoted. If we are Christians at all, we must be Christians everywhere, and must consider and heed the counsel given to make us Christians according to the standard of God's Word. When we accepted Christ as our Redeemer, we accepted the condition of becoming laborers together with God. We made a covenant with Him to be holy for the Lord, as faithful stewards of the grace of Christ, to labor for the upbuilding of His kingdom in the world. Every follower of Christ stands pledged to dedicate all his powers of mind and soul and body to Him who has paid the ransom money for our souls. We are engaged to be soldiers, to enter into active service, to endure trials, shame, reproach, to fight the fight of faith, following the captain of our salvation. In your connection with worldly societies, are you keeping your covenant with God? Do these associations tend to direct your mind or that of others to God, or are they diverting the interest and attention from Him? Do they strengthen your connection with the divine agencies, or turn your mind to the human in place of the divine? Are you serving, honoring, and magnifying God, or are you dishonoring Him and sinning against Him? Are you gathering with Christ or scattering abroad? All the thought and plan and earnest interest devoted to these organizations has been purchased by the precious blood of Christ. But are you doing service for Him when uniting yourselves with atheists and infidels, men who profane the name of God, tipplers, drunkards, tobacco devotees? While there may be in these societies much that appears to be good, there is, mingled with this, very much that makes the good of no effect, and renders these associations detrimental to the interests of the soul. I ask you, who take pleasure in these associations, who love the gathering for indulgence and wit and merriment and feasting, do you take Jesus with you? Are you seeking to save the souls of your companions? Is that the object of your association with them? Do they see and feel that there is in you a living embodiment of the Spirit of Christ? Is it manifest that you are a witness for Christ, that you belong to a peculiar people, zealous of good works? Is it manifest that your life is governed by the divine precepts, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself? Those who cannot discern between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not may be charmed with these societies that have no connection with God, but no earnest Christian can prosper in such an atmosphere. The vital air of heaven is not there. His soul is barren, and he feels as destitute of the refreshment of the Holy Spirit as were the hills of Gilboa of the dew and rain. At times the follower of Christ may, by circumstances, be compelled to witness scenes of unholy pleasure, but it is with a sorrowful heart. The language is not the language of Canaan, and the child of God will never choose such associations. When he is necessarily brought into society that he does not choose, let him lean upon God, and the Lord will preserve him. But he is not to sacrifice his principle in any case, whatever the temptation. Christ will never lead his followers to take upon themselves vows that will unite them with men who have no connection with God, who are not under the controlling influence of the Holy Spirit. The only correct standard of character is the holy law of God, and it is impossible for those who make that law the rule of life to unite in confidence and cordial brotherhood with those who turn the truth of God into a lie and regard the authority of God as a thing of naught. Between the worldly man and the one who is faithfully serving God, there is a great gulf fixed. Upon the momentous subjects, God and truth and eternity, their thoughts and sympathies and feelings are not in harmony. One class is ripening as wheat for the garner of God, the other as tares for the fires of destruction. How can there be unity of purpose or action between them? Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. Should Christians be members of secret societies, pages 3-10, 1892. Subheading, clear-cut separation. In the evening, I met Brother Blank, and I told him I had something for him from the Lord. He said, "Why not let me have it now?" I was quite weak, but he lived in Blank, 10 miles from the school building, which was to be my home. So I rose and read to him 50 pages of letter pages in reference to the office and also particular ones working in the office. Footnote. Reference is made to a communication from which the preceding article is drawn. End of footnote. I spoke plainly and in clear lines in reference to his past work and what a loss it had been to the office. His connection with Freemasonry had absorbed his time and blunted his spiritual perception. His mind, his thoughts had been upon this body, this association, and there were infidels, wine bibbers, and every class. And he was bound up with these secret organizations. There was only one thing he could do, sever his connection with them and be wholly on the Lord's side, for he could not possibly serve God and Mammon. He said, "I received the testimony, I shall heed its instruction." Manuscript 17, 1892. Brother Blank was in a perilous condition, like a man about to lose his balance and fall over a precipice. I knew what nice work it is to deal with human minds, and I was thankful when the time came when it was safe for me to present to him his danger. The Lord of Heaven would have us fear to judge one another. As finite, erring beings, we should be suspicious of ourselves. We should fear lest we offend God in bruising the souls of his children. They are the purchase of the Son of God, bought by his own precious blood, and are not to be accused or oppressed by word or act, for the Lord will stand in their defense. Wednesday, I was drawn out to speak of the principles upon which we should deal with minds and direct them in the right way. Many in the world have their affections on things that may be good in themselves, but their minds are satisfied with these things and do not seek the greater and higher good that Christ desires to give them. Now, we must not rudely seek to deprive them of what they hold dear. Reveal to them the beauty and preciousness of truth. Lead them to behold Christ and his loveliness, then they will turn aside from everything that will draw their affections away from him. Letter 23A, 1893. Subheading, a message of commendation. I am very thankful to our gracious Heavenly Father that he has given you strength through his imparted grace to cut yourself loose from the Freemason Lodge and all that relates to the society. It was not safe for you to have any part with the secret order. Those who stand under the blood-stained banner of Prince Emmanuel cannot be united with the Freemasons or with any secret organization. The seal of the living God will not be placed upon anyone who maintains such a connection after the light of truth is shown upon his pathway. Christ is not divided, and Christians cannot serve God or Mammon. The Lord says, "Come out from among them and be separate, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Letter 21, 1893. Subheading, Deceptions Through Secret Societies. The world is a theater. The actors, its inhabitants, are preparing to act their part in the last great drama. With the great masses of mankind, there is no unity except as men confederate to accomplish their selfish purposes. God is looking on. His purposes in regard to his rebellious subjects will be fulfilled. The world has not been given into the hands of men, though God is permitting the elements of confusion and disorder to bear sway for a season. A power from beneath is working to bring about the last great scenes in the drama. Satan, Communist Christ, and working with all deceivableness of unrighteousness and those who are binding themselves together in secret societies. Those who are yielding to the passion for confederation are working out the plans of the enemy. The cause will be followed by the effect. Transgression has almost reached its limit. Confusion fills the world, and a great terror is soon to come upon human beings. The end is very near. We who know the truth should be preparing for what is soon to break upon the world as an overwhelming surprise. Testimonies, Volume 8, pages 27 to 28, 1904. Heading, Combating Erroneous Teaching. Subheading, Meet Sophistries with Truth. I am instructed to say to you that it is not best to dwell upon the spiritualistic sentiments, the strange, misleading theories, which have for years been coming in among us. It is not best to preach on the subject of pantheism or to read quotations from authors who write on this subject, and the specious, deceptive errors that lead to it. The statements made in Testimonies, Volume 8, are sufficient to warn our people to avoid these errors. These statements will do more to enlighten minds than all the explanations or theories that our ministers and teachers may put forth concerning these matters. If you try to handle these subjects, you will be led to repeat the sophistries of Satan, unless you will help Satan to present his false theories to the people. Resolve never, never to repeat error, but always to teach the truth. Fill hearts and minds with the solemn, sacred truth for this time. Dwell on present truth, on Christ's second coming. The Lord is coming very soon. We have only a little while in which to present the truth for this time, the truth that is to convert souls. This truth is to be presented in the utmost simplicity, even as Christ presented it, so that the people can understand what is truth. Truth will dispel the clouds of error. Give the people present truth. Talk the truth. Fill their minds with truth. Build up the strongholds of truth. And do not bring Satan's theories to minds that should not hear in regard to them. What the people need is not a representation of the seductive arts of Satan, but a presentation of the truth as it is in Jesus. Remember that the devil can be served by a repetition of his lies. The less we handle these objectionable subjects, the purer, cleaner, and less tainted will be our minds and our principles. And I have been shown that we are not to enter into controversy over these spiritualistic theories, because such controversy will only confuse minds. These things are not to be brought into our meetings. We are not to labor to refute them. If our ministers and teachers give themselves to the study of these erroneous theories, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. It is not the work of the gospel minister to voice Satan's theories. Hold up the truth. Magnify the truth. Say, "It is written." Letter 175, 1904. Subheading, Falsehoods Must Be Skillfully Unmasked. The Apostle Paul warns us that some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. This is what we may expect. Our greatest trials will come because of that class who have once advocated the truth, but who turned from it to the world and trample it under their feet in hate and derision. God has a work for his faithful servants to do. The attacks of the enemy must be met with the truth of his word. Falsehood must be unmasked. Its true character must be revealed, and the light of the law of Jehovah must shine forth into the moral darkness of the world. We are to present the claims of his word. We shall not be held guiltless if we neglect this solemn duty. But while we stand in defense of the truth, let us not stand in defense of self and make a great ado because we are called to bear reproach and misrepresentation. Let us not pity ourselves, but be very jealous for the law of the Most High. Says the Apostle, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. On every side we shall see men easily led captive by the delusive imaginations of those who make void the word of God. But when the truth is brought before them, they are filled with impatience and anger. But the exhortation of the apostle to the servant of God is, "Watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." We must cherish carefully the words of our God, lest we be contaminated by the deceptive workings of those who have left the faith. We are to resist their spirit and influence with the same weapon our Master used when assailed by the Prince of Darkness. It is written. We should learn to use the word of God skillfully. The exhortation is, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." There must be diligent work and earnest prayer and faith to meet the winding error of false teachers and seducers, for in the last days perilous time shall come. Review and Herald, January 10, 1888. Subheading, The Sincere Rescued from Deceptions. The means by which we can overcome the wicked one is that by which Christ overcame the power of the word. God does not control our minds without our consent. But if we desire to know and to do his will, his promises are ours. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If any man willeth to do his will, he shall know of the teaching. Through faith in these promises, every man may be delivered from the snares of error and the control of sin. Every man is free to choose what power he will have to rule over him. None have fallen so low, none are so vile, but that they can find deliverance in Christ. The demoniac, in place of prayer, could utter only the words of Satan, yet the heart's unspoken appeal was heard. No cry from a soul in need, though it fail of utterance in words, will be unheeded. Those who will consent to enter into covenant relation with the God of heaven are not left to the power of Satan or to the infirmity of their own nature. They are invited by the Savior. Let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me. The spirits of darkness will battle for the soul once under their dominion, but angels of God will contend for that soul with prevailing power. The Desire of Ages, pages 258, 259, 1898. Subheading, To Curious Admit We Do Not Know. Letters have come to us in regard to matters upon which God has given us no light, and we are pleased to say to these inquirers, We do not know. The great anxiety in every mind should be to know God and do His requirements. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Those who are so curious to find out things that have not been made known in the Scriptures are generally surface students in regard to those things which have a bearing on the daily life and practice. We are to reveal to the world that which God has seen necessary to reveal to us. We are not doing the will of our Heavenly Father when we speculate upon things which He has seen fit to withhold from us. It is the privilege of everyone to reveal to others that he appreciates the worth of divine truths, that he appreciates the treasures of eternal life by making every sacrifice to obtain the reward. Manuscript 104, 1898.